Hello, everybody, and welcome to Music Industry Insights Worldwide. And today I have the awesome Ellie Halley with me. Hi, Ellie, how are you?
Hi, Saskia. Thank you for inviting me on to chat with you. It's absolutely fab to see you again. One of my favorite people.
Oh, thank you. That's so kind, Ellie. I've got a little bit of a cold today, so sorry, everybody. But yeah, welcome to the show, everyone. And yeah, thanks for coming along to the show. I really appreciate your time today. Do you want to tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and what you do?
Okay. You know what? This is one of the questions I always hate having to answer, and I know it's like always the first question. Okay, so I'm Elle Halley, and I've had a kind of varied career working across the creative industries, having worked in marketing, fashion, sort of fashion journalism, and then kind of working through like the visual side of marketing. So I kind of found my speciality in working out what sort of defines a brand and kind of what visuals go into sort of telling a really good story. So I sort of specialized in that kind of area. And then I kind of quite accidentally got asked to start teaching it. So this is how Saskia and I met quite a few moons ago now. So yeah, I lecture on artist branding and visual direction and all sorts of things like that. So
I
yeah.
find that really, really interesting, Ellie, because at the end of the day, when you're looking at visuals, they tell a story, don't they? They have a meaning, and not just the story itself. It's all about colors, how you use those colors, and how you can kind of bring out a story through a picture, right? And that's something I learned with you. Do you want to tell the listeners a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I think a lot of people have a bit of a misconception when it comes to, the word sort of branding and what is meant by branding. And a lot of people think, oh, I'll go and see a graphic designer and get a logo done and things like that. But actually, your brand is like the subliminal and visual representation of everything you or your product or whatever stand for. So actually, there's a lot of psychology behind what goes into creating a brand. And if you're a music artist or, whatever you're trying to set up, it's about who are you trying to speak to? What are you trying to say to them? How are you trying to represent yourself? And then creating the elements that say that for you in a visual format. So.
Trying to get that, and I think that's really, really interesting. And yeah, we met at Talyard doing the music marketing course, right? And it was all about branding, how to kind of identify yourself in a market and understand who your audience is. And that's extremely important, especially now in the music industry, right? You need to find your voice, but you also need to find out who your audience is and what you represent. So, do you want to tell the listeners a little bit more about some of those skills that you've taught me along the way and how important they are? Because they're extremely important.
I think so. I think music isn't just noise. Music is about connecting people. It's about emotion. It's about, people who don't necessarily feel heard to find a voice that speaks for them, representing them. And this is time and time again throughout music, really successful music artists and stuff. It's not because the music on its own is brilliant, which obviously it needs to be, but because of everything else that artist represents. I mean, if you look at Youngblood and his incredible rise, he was the first kind of person to really encourage the emo type kids to go and put on a skirt and dance around. It's all right. And all these things, they're so powerful. So it's not just about, oh, here's me and here's my music. It's what are you giving your audience? What is your gift to your audience? What does somebody get from, being a fan or
Yeah,
following you?
definitely.
So I kind of always see it as a sort of two-way thing.
It really is. And also, I learned from you is about individuality and having your own style and your own story and just speaking authentically. Because I think, again, we talk about having stories, but they must be authentic and they must be from the communities they represent. What do you think about that, Ellie?
It's absolutely vital. I think people can smell inauthenticity like a mile off. It just feels off, doesn't it? It gives you that weird sense of dissonance when someone is saying one thing and yet you just don't quite buy it. And I think it's one of the most off-putting things. I mean, let's just look at politicians, for example, and why we don't like them very much generally. It's all the same thing. It's like when somebody's saying something, but you don't really believe that they really believe it, it makes you it's sort of a bit unsettling. So I would say, yeah, I mean, everybody's an individual. Everybody's got their own set of stories. Everybody's got something that is really relatable to other people. And sometimes it is the more the things that have made you more vulnerable, you know, over time, and the difficult experiences. And it's the way you overcome those that makes you a really strong person. So it's not necessarily about dwelling on your difficulties, but it's about, you know, showing that sense of leadership of you can get over it, you can overcome it. And that makes you a really super powerful person and totally unique. And I think those things need to be celebrated.
Yeah. And it's also about sharing those experiences in a personal way that's quite personal to you, but not too personal, but, you know, something that's yours, that belongs to you. You're sharing it with the world, but you have that feeling, that passion, that pain and that trauma sometimes behind it that really makes it feel original, that people can relate to because they've been through it themselves. And I think it's also that relatability, isn't it? And that's what we're talking about sometimes. With authenticity comes relatability. Can you relate to that story? Does it sound real? Does it feel real? Does it look real? Because all of those things come into play, right? It's a package.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think as well, you know, if you're going out there into the public realm, especially if you're someone who's been through difficult circumstances, it's also important to look after yourself, because it's kind of easy to kind of go out there and bare everything. But I would say, you know, the use of metaphors and, you know, abstracted concepts of what you've been through and using them, firstly, that kind of opens things up so everyone can put their own unique take onto things. But also it stops you from feeling overexposed or people kind of trying to get into the nitty gritty details of your life, which can be quite damaging if you're overcoming difficult circumstances.
It can be, especially when you're dealing with trauma and you're trying to recover and you're trying to get back on your feet. I totally understand that. So you've obviously been through your own unique story. Did you have a musical education before you got into this? And tell us a little bit more about your own story.
Yeah, it's a bit of a strange one. I was one of those sort of violin brats, and I could actually play the violin before I could read or write. So from the age of about four, sort of the violin was my life. And as a result of that, I became quite good. But I also absolutely hated it because I felt that I was doing it for my mother. And when I got to about 16, I got offered quite a prestigious scholarship to, you know, quite a good music college. And I said to my mother at the time, I said, you know, maybe I should consider doing music for a career. And she turned around and said to me, "Don't be ridiculous, darling. You can't do music for a career. Music's for dropouts." So at that moment, at the age of about 16, I literally slammed the lid on my violin and refused to take it out of its box for many, many years afterwards. And I think when it came to getting into the sort of education side of music, I was always like, wow, I wish this kind of thing had existed. Then, you know, it just wasn't. It just all felt like it was really formal, classical, really everything by the book. And the kind of full freedom of expression just wasn't really allowed to shine through.
Mostly for males as well, Ellie, especially as you were growing up and coming through your educational background. So how did that feel as a female, being underrepresented and obviously doing all of that stuff? How did that make you feel, and how did that affect your confidence?
Feel like as a woman you have to work extra hard, because it's not just enough to be talented, it's not just enough to be intelligent, it's not just you're supposed to be superwoman, and then you're made to feel, you know, like you're not good enough if you aren't superwoman. But it's like, you know, you could be a female musician, and if it was a, you know, male counterpart, they could just be a really fantastic musician and that would be enough. But as a woman, you've got to be beautiful, you've got to be well dressed, you've got to be, you know, there's so many more things it seems you get judged on. Yeah. I could be wrong, because I only know it from my own female perspective, but it certainly feels like women, especially if you're a mother and things as well, the list of things you have to achieve in order to be considered a success a lot.
Yeah, I totally understand. And how has that kind of impacted your career? I know you've done really well and you've worked in so many different places. You've got a great CV. You've been all around the world. But How's that affected you?
Oh, thank you. Well, I think this is something that resonates with an awful lot of women. It is caring responsibilities. And I know that's not always having children. Sometimes it's having disabled parents or whatever. But, I had children very young, and life was always a really real struggle to try and maintain some form of professional identity and be a reasonable mother. And that really did jeopardize my career because I never wanted to sacrifice, the time with my children to pursue career. And so you take up bits and pieces, but it was very, very hard to actually make enough money from it.
That's the problem, isn't it? And it's providing for your children, having enough money to live, and feeling like you have a purpose and feeling that you're good enough. Because I think a lot of the time it's nothing personal. But sometimes it might not be the right time. It might be about building trust. It might be about building meaningful relationships. It might also be about financial and other family issues that are going on in the background that no one has any idea about. But you're there trying to succeed. You're trying to prove yourself. And I think that's extremely draining. And there's a lot of people that have their own judgment, right? So that's I can really relate to that.
I mean, I think support is the key, isn't it? And it's how people need support in order to flourish. Because if you're struggling with, caring responsibilities or whatever, even getting over trauma and things like that, if you don't have support, it's really, really hard to build a foundation that you can grow from.
It is. But at the same time, I think, when you've come from a very dark place, there's nothing worse than being in that dark place. So I think sometimes you're just trying to build a better life for yourself and to make sure that you don't end up back in that position. And I'm so sure you can relate to that too. So what are your thoughts and feelings at the moment around equality, diversity, and inclusion in the music industry?
I think it's one of the industries where there's been a lot of verbose sort of, activism. There's been a lot being said, and I think it's one of the industries that really is trying to do a lot. I mean, I think the female-only studios and things like that. There's a lot being done within the music industry, but it's always going to be a difficult industry for a lot of people to work in. I mean, the hours and the expectations of, being around after work to do all the sort of industry stuff and things, it still makes it very, very difficult for people juggling other responsibilities to be a part of it. And it's quite a cliquey industry as well, I would say, which is great if you're in, but it's difficult to break in a meaningful way, I would say. I mean, there are lots of great programs now, to help people, but I think there just should be more of these jump-starting kind of programs to really support people who have a good story to tell to get into music, because that's where powerful music's made.
I still think there's a lot of gatekeepers, actually, and I still think it's about networking and collaboration and just getting out there and meeting new people because I've found it very tricky to navigate an industry that has a lot of people that want to make it themselves. There's a lot of egos and everyone's in it to win it. And if someone else sees you getting a little bit further than them, they don't want to see you succeed. And I think that's another challenge that you get to when you get to a certain stages. Then you've also got to realize, hold on a minute, it's all these other people that are trying to get somewhere. And I get that. But who are the ones that supported you and who's the ones that stayed real to you? And opened up to you and supported you from day one because I think, this industry is a hard one. And when you do get to a certain stage, it's also about remembering who supported you and who was there for you at the times when you wasn't anybody. Because, sometimes you can get to those next stages and you can succeed, but you've also got to remember that everyone wants to succeed and it is a challenge. And, there's so many people in this industry now, especially now we don't have these barriers in the way. That make it a lot easier for people to just sit in their room and make music. So, what kind of advice would you give to these kind of people that are just coming into the industry now that want to make it? What would your tips and hints be for them?
Say, the power of collaboration, is absolutely brilliant. If you find some like-minded people and you do something together, so if you're a singer and you find a brilliant photographer or videographer that you just love their work things like that. You know, I would say collaborate, 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 because you multiply your audience every time you partner with someone. And I think if you find people you have shared vision with, you can really maximize your sort of power, you know, in a combined effort, especially, you know, using mixed arts as well, because I think it's so important that you have all the different elements there. And all the greatest kind of groups have always had, you know, a fusion of different brilliant talents. So I'd say that, and I'd say, you know, with the advent of social media and the way it is now, it's got challenges, but it's also got benefits. So it's how you use the sort of social media to get yourself known. And I would say there is a lot of ability to self-start in the industry
Yeah,
now.
I think so too. And it's about finding your tribe, finding your audience, but also knowing what you represent and how you're going to represent that in a way that's inclusive and diverse. True. Is that
Yeah.
true?
And I would also say one of the, you know, number one tip is if somebody comes and offers you a deal, you know, sometimes people are super eager and the industry know that.
Yeah.
What I would say is never sign anything without fully getting it checked out first,
You're
which
correct.
sounds harsh, but I would say it's a very important bit of advice.
Some wise words, Ellie. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that, actually. And what would you like to see improve in the next couple of years around equality, diversity, inclusion in the music industry?
Just want to see, I want to see, you know, the world look at, you know, the representation in music looking like the real world. You know, I want people to be able to identify with each other through music. Music is like one of the few, you know, totally universal languages. And that's, you know, that's an incredibly powerful tool to use. And I would like to hear proper emotional, raw music coming back out of people who really have strong stories to tell, as opposed to just, oh, look at me, aren't I pretty? Because that's
Exactly.
a shame. You know, I think modern pop music is just not, it's just not hitting with any great power. So I'd love to see some proper, raw, original artists coming through with what they really believe in and kind of shining.
I love that. Thank you. And do you think cultural and age differences have kind of impact on what we can achieve and the inclusion and diversity that we have at the moment?
Everyone should be listening to each other because you learn from people, you know, you learn from older people from their life stories. Older people learn from younger people from their life stories. Different cultures learn so much between each other by speaking and conversing and getting to know each other. And I just think, you know, the more you get to know people from different dynamics and different, the more you find in common and the more people kind of learn how to be harmonious. I just think there's so much sharing to be done.
And I'll tell you what I really learned about collaborations is when you're working with different people or new people that might not have met someone from your culture or from your ethnical background or wherever you come from differently, is that they learn from you and it breaks down perceptions and it also builds that trust. And I think that's the thing that I've really loved about collaborations is people are kind of curious, they want to know more, but they don't want to scare or offend anybody. So I think a good way of collaborating for me is breaking down those perceptions, changing ideas of what people think I should be or what I am. And then actually when we all walk out the room, we've all got a massive smile on our face, which I really, really love. And I think that's something that I've enjoyed. And I learn from everyone I work with. I learn from every single person. And I'm sure they learn from me. And I think that's the importance about collaboration. We learn from each other.
You can't judge people without getting to know them, can you? You know, if you're the number of times people just seem to judge someone else on what they perceive them to
Yeah.
be.
Or what they hear.
I mean, even in, you know, I know people might be saying, oh, why is she sitting here talking about inclusion and diversity? You know, she's white, sounds middle class. It's like, but I was a teenage mom, I have two mixed race kids, and I see what they go through on a daily basis, and I see how different the world is to people with, you know, with different colored skin, and it horrifies me. So,
And then
yeah.
that you went through domestic violence as well yourself, and you came out the other end and you survived that. And I think that was something that really drew me to you, Ellie, is that you were very understanding and open and easy to get on with. And you were very supportive to me as a student. So I just want to say thank you. And you brought the best out of me. And I really enjoyed
Oh, bless you. Thank you. You're literally always one of my, well, you will forever be one of my all-time favorites ever. And I'm so delighted to see, how well you're doing now. I'm so proud of everything you're achieving.
Sorry, I've got a cold, but I could not let you down. And, I'm here today snuffling away and stuff, and it's a busy week, but I just got to remember the people that helped me to get to where I am today. And not just that, support other people along the way. It's about partnerships, it's about collaboration, it's about learning from others, and also that understanding, that shared understanding. I know we haven't been through the same things, and we're from two different communities, but we came together and we worked together on some stuff, and we achieved some fantastic results. So I'm ever so pleased. I learned so much from you. I highly recommend
Oh,
the
thank
work.
you.
It's fantastic. I learned so much about images and stories and artwork that I've never thought about before. So any artist, I would recommend thinking about these things, going and checking Ellie's work out, the work Ellie does. So Ellie, tell us a little bit more about the work you do, what you're doing at the moment. Tell us
So,
more.
I mean, I've been working a lot in education, in the education side of things. And I have to say, I found after lockdown and everything, I did find my creative juices had run completely dry. And I think that's something you're struggling with when it's people that inspire you and then you're taken away from people. So I've been relatively quiet. I took a sabbatical last year to kind of get a bit of a refreshing new view of the world, which was great. And so now I'm back working, doing freelance sort of branding and creative direction, and also putting together a suite of courses with our new company, Create Ed, which is sort of taking up a bit of time as well. But hopefully things are taking off there, and we're hoping to do some courses specifically for sort of empowering women and ED&I based stuff as well. So I'll be talking to you about that soon, Saskia.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. And could you tell us a little bit more about kind of the stuff that you have done in the past? Is there anywhere people can find you, your links, your kind of websites, things like that?
Absolutely. I have to admit, I'm pretty rubbish when it comes to ever keeping my social media stuff updated. But you can find me, my website is lhalley.co.uk, which has some of the visual sort of stories and editorial work on there, and L Halley on Instagram as well. So if you want to track me down, I'm not that hard to locate.
I'll leave all the links in the description below. I'm sorry today, everyone. I've got a cold. I'm trying to hold it all in. My nose is running. Literally trying to do all these things at once, but I think I've done all right. So I apologize to everyone. And thank you, Ellie, for taking the time
Thank
to.
you so much. It's such a pleasure to see you on here, Saskia, and good luck with the podcast and everything.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Speak soon.
Take
Bye.
care. Bye.